How many of you think of yourselves as spiritual? I must admit, I had a pretty negative view of spirituality. That may seem odd coming to you as someone who is a priest, but I always considered spirituality like piety, and I loathe piety. Because I've always associated it with people who don't like to think, that they just sort of go into these moments of the spirit, I guess, and they will rattle off prayers, stand in front of a statue, but there was not really any thought, rationality to it. And so I've always been sort of, I've kept spirituality at a distance, interestingly enough. I like what's known as practical theology. I could care less how many angels can dance on the head of a pin. It's only important if you're an angel. And I'm not an angel. This began to be important to me because for the last year now, I've been in Los Angeles. And to be honest with you, this morning, I've never sweat so much in all my life. I'm dying with your humidity. I'd forgotten how bad humidity is after being 2 years in Tucson, where the average humidity was 8. And then being in LA, where it is high in the morning but burns off in the afternoon, I've been dying. I've just been absolutely dying. But anyway, now that I'm back in Chicago, my home and native land, I was told I'm going to go back to teaching. So actually, I'm going to go back to doing what I did before I came here 13 years ago, which I'm very happy about. I love teaching, love high school students. I love high school drama because, you know, when I came here, I discovered there's college drama. And then when I left here and went to Madison, Wisconsin, I discovered there's adult trauma. So I much prefer high school trauma. It just seems to fit more with my style. And so I said, okay, fine, what do you want me to teach? Because when I taught there before, I taught history, which I would love to go back to teach. But they said, no, we want you to teach Dominican spirituality. And I thought, well, what is it? And I've been a Dominican 30 years. And I thought, how can I teach something that I'm not even sure I know what it means? And so I do what I always do when I need to question and ponder. I went to Conception, Missouri, to the Benedictines, and prayed. Because there is nothing in Conception, Missouri to distract your mind. It's the best place in the world to pray. And so I spent my week there praying, and I love praying with the monks. And I, you know, being a Dominican, I get inserted with the choir. I'm not like one of those diocesan priests who have to stay out in the congregation. They put me right behind the prior, and I get to sing with them. I get to eat with them. We never talk, which I know that would be hard for some of you to believe, that I never talk. But for those, we never talk during meals, which I love, actually. But I must admit, I didn't care listening to the story of, I love Jean Vanier, for those of you who know about L'Arche, but they were reading the story of L'Arche, and the book was not interesting to me at all. But anyway, I digress. So I'm there, and it's clear, as I'm praying 6 times a day with them, and I love praying with them, but I don't have a Benedictine spirituality. And so I started reading, investigating what it means to be, to have that Ignatian spirituality of a Jesuit. And I don't have that either. But what is a Dominican? Because a Dominican spirituality has always been vague to me. But in prayer and in study, which is what we're supposed to be doing as Dominicans, over the course of the 5 days, it became clear to me that it really is based upon Aquinas' belief that grace builds on nature. That as opposed to the Jesuit spirituality or Ignatian spirituality, which wants to make you all Jesuits are all like Ignatius by following the spiritual exercises and some of their other practices, which I love. I lived with the Jesuits 5 years, love the Jesuits, but I don't want to be one. The Dominican spirituality is going to take, everybody knows Dennis. I love Dennis, by the way. Come up and stand up, Dennis. This one of the nicest guys I know in all of Colombia. And also, I think you came into the church when I was here, too.
That's right.
All because of my example. He said, Father, I want to be just like you. But now Dennis, I forgot where I was going with this. Yeah. Where was I going with that? No, before joining the church, why did I have you stand up? The Jesuit. But the Dominican spirituality is going to take Dennis. And what is Dennis best at? He's a nice guy. He's kind. He's loving, generous with his time. He does a lot with girls' basketball. And so grace is only going to make him better at those things. Grace is not going to make him Ignatian or like Ignatius or like Dominic or even like Father Thomas, his mentor and his idol. So that's what it means to be, that's what Dominican spirituality is. And really what I learned that's most important is spirituality in its proper sense. And I don't think most people think of it this way, but if you do, I'm greatly impressed. It's really the intersection of faith and action. So as many times as I thought it wasn't practical theology, if you really have a deep spirituality and you take it seriously, it is in fact practical theology. Because it's what you believe through faith, and doctrines are all about those things in faith. So you could say like the incarnation. That's a doctrine of the church. That God became a human person, a being, and entered into human history, which has a great concept then, or great influence on what we call Christian anthropology and the intrinsic dignity of every human being. And then that should drift into then how we treat one another on a daily basis. So, I mean, here's the example. Incarnation, how I speak to you. Even when you pull out in front of me in traffic going out of church. And if it doesn't connect, then you're really not being spiritual. And this is where I think where Abraham, you know, the problem with Sodom and Gomorrah is the fact that the people of Sodom and Gomorrah, their practice wasn't intersecting through their faith in what it meant to be a Jewish person in Jewish doctrine, but their day-to-day lives weren't connected to that. And so they were estranged from that, and I don't believe it was God going to kill them. They were going to destroy themselves. Last night, the joy of YouTube, I heard in 1970, I heard Fulton Sheen tell William F. Buckley, quoting Abraham Lincoln, that we would never be destroyed from an outside force. It would be we would destroy ourselves. And I see that getting more and more a possibility every day. So spiritual versus religious. And I think more and more, we all know someone in our lives who says that, well, I'm spiritual, but I'm not religious. And what does that mean? It means I don't want the baggage of the institutional church. But not only do they, in a sense, escape the baggage, they escape the fact that I do know Dennis and I know what he's involved in. They miss that human connection. The community of Christ. So not only are they fleeing the institution, which again, sometimes I understand that. Sometimes I'd give it all up for it has to be a penthouse apartment on Lakeshore Drive, but I would give it all up for that on occasion. But we separate ourselves, I think, the spiritual but not religious. That's the danger of it. And so God becomes a God of their own creation because they become disconnected from the community, which helps us understand mercy and love and forgiveness, which is what we've been called to celebrate. But it's not only that we celebrate them, that they become so deeply rooted in our spirituality that they become part of who we are. And that we become grateful people. Is gratitude a part of your core being about believing in God? Because when we become grateful, I think we become less what I hear what people mean when they say privilege and entitlement. If you're a grateful person and gratitude is truly a part of your spirituality, you're not going to become one of those entitled or privileged people. Because you realize in everything that, in every interaction, the gracious gift of God, which has made it possible for you to have and to be and to do what you have and to be who you are. But if you're not grateful, then somehow again there's this disconnect between what we say our spirituality is and the activity of our daily lives. And very quickly we drift more and more further away. We may think we're being spiritual. And my other problem with spiritual but not religious is spirituality, as I've learned in the last 2 weeks, it has its own language. It's like architecture. Unless you know the language of architecture, you cannot be an architect. And unless you understand the language of religion, spiritual, which then spirituality becomes an offshoot of that. And I don't care if you're a Jew or a Muslim or a Buddhist. If you're not somehow connected to the institution to understand the language, you can't be spiritual. I firmly deny that you can be a spiritual person without some connection to the institution. With all of its baggage, with everything that's wrong with it, it teaches us that language and how we can pray and become more like God, even if the institution is the counterexample of that. And so, where am I going with this, Dennis? I want you to read my mind, Dennis. Where I'm going with that is, you know, we come and we celebrate faith and our spirituality. But if we don't know what that is, and like I said, I'm not sure I did until 2 weeks ago. What spirituality meant to me and how I saw it as the intersection of two things that are most important to me in my life, faith and action. And if they're disconnected, then I may say I'm religious, I may even say I'm spiritual, but not really. It just is a figment of my imagination of what I think spirituality is or what I think religion is. And that's where spirituality and even piety, something I don't really care for, but they lead us to being holier people. So that when we're in front of the Blessed Sacrament in adoration and we understand how in this great gift of the church, how God incarnates himself every time the Eucharist is made present. But if that, again, doesn't leave there and go into our daily lives where we recognize the dignity outside of that chapel, then we've missed the point. We've lost out what it means to adore Christ in the Eucharist. So, we have a prayer, which is condenses in so many ways what the doctrines of our faith are. That God is hallowed in heaven, and we should hallow that name here on earth. So the next time you want to say the GD word when you've hit your finger with a hammer, How does saying that fit into your spirituality? Acknowledging that all that we have in this daily bread comes from God. And that tomorrow what we have will come from God. And the next day. And ultimately, again, especially in light of the Pauline reading, mercy. And we've got to be more. This is where I'm convinced. If we don't learn to be more merciful with one another, we're going to destroy one another. We've got to learn to love and forgive. And I would suggest even excuse. Because what I've experienced in my life, I mean, I have been so far. I lived in Hollywood, La La Land. And it really is La La Land. It's a different world. And it's not a real world. It's Hollywood. There is a sense that everything is sort of fake there. It's beautiful. I'm sure today in LA it's going to be beautiful. Tomorrow's going to be beautiful. And the extended forecast is beautiful. But there's an unrealness to that. But we're called in our lives to, again, that faith and belief and action, that wherever we are, we're truly living our spirituality.